Good evening. I know I only preach once a month, so it can be hard to remember what I preached about last time. But my last several sermons, if you are able to recall, have dealt with adversity in some sort of way. I've spoken about struggling with God. I've spoken about dealing with the consequences of our sin and adversity. And tonight, what I'd really like for us to focus in on and what I'd really like to speak about is when we're in the midst of our battles in life. And I don't mean things that we've already dealt with in the past. I mean when we're right there in the midst of it. When we're struggling with that specific thing that has challenged us for so long. When we're finally facing that sin which we cannot seem to shake in our lives, or that trial which we have feared for so long stares us right in the face. When we're in the midst of the great spiritual battles of our lives. And what better place to look than 1 Samuel chapter 17? If you'll turn with me there, is a very familiar story that we all know. The story of David and Goliath. And I'd like us to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to start reading in verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. And they were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socoh and Azekah in the Ephedamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of that coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, a man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, the next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest, the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistines came and took his stand. The Philistine came and took his stand morning and evening. I want to stop here for a second and acknowledge the first lesson I think we can take from this recounting. And the first thing I want us to learn from 1 Samuel chapter 17 is that we all have our Goliaths in life. We are guaranteed to encounter difficulty and adversity. And the number one thing we have to do, first and foremost, is acknowledge that our Goliaths are there. If you'll notice, when Goliath comes and stands before the entire camp of Israel, they ignore him. They're afraid. They retreat back into his camp. Maybe some of them think that he'll just go away if they ignore him. But he announces his ill intent, and the first thing they do is draw away. Throughout the scriptures, we see sin described in many different ways. And the one way it's never described is as sin is very peaceful. It's not very dangerous. It's not going to hurt you. It's okay if you just leave it be. I think we see the exact opposite. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 describes the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But why is this such a big deal for us? And I think the reason is because if we don't acknowledge the adversity in our life, if we ignore our Goliaths, if we ignore that roaring lion, then every time that adversity meets us head on, because at some point it will, it's going to completely blindside us if we're not prepared. We often use 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 as a form of encouragement. For you will not be overtaken by any form of temptation that is not common to man, and that God will always provide a way of escape. And that is encouraging. It is encouraging that we always have a way of escape, but it is also an assurance to us. It is a guarantee that we are going to encounter trials in life. Bad stuff is going to happen. And we can either choose to do as the Israelites did and cower in our camp and hope it goes away and eventually be taken completely surprised by it. Or we can acknowledge it and prepare, which is what David does. And if we'll go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, picking up again in verse 17. And Jesse said to David his son, "Take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves. Carry them quickly to the camp of your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their thousands. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage, and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. And as he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done to the man who kills him." David, this young man, a man who could easily turn away from the battle, go back to his father's household and take care of the sheep, he sees this threat, this Goliath, who challenges the armies of God. And the first thing he says is, "Why hasn't somebody killed him already? Why are we not fighting this guy? How dare he defy God's will?" And that's the attitude we have to have about the problems in our life. I don't know if you've ever known someone, I have known several people, who continually ignore the obvious problems in their life. There's a trial they're going through, there's a sin in their life that they just pretend it isn't there. And every time that difficulty arises again and again, it just destroys them completely. How could this happen? Where did this come from? Well, it was there the whole time. But you hid in your camp, and you were afraid, and you thought maybe it would just go away if you ignored it. If we turn to Philippians chapter 1 and read verses 27 through 30, we see in the New Testament this attitude talked about, this attitude of having confidence to go out to meet our difficulties. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for your sake, for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So the first lesson I want us to take from the story of David and Goliath is that we have to acknowledge adversity and meet it with confidence. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll pick up where we left off in verse 28. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, that is David's eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, that you have come down to see us battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?" And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. When the words that David spoke were heard, they were repeated then before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and this man has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand as he approached the Philistine. I want us to stop here and acknowledge the second point that I want us to pay attention to. And the second point that I want us to see is that we cannot trust in the physical. This world, our friends, even our own bodies will let us down. We have to reject the advice and the strength of the flesh, and we must prepare for the flesh to fail. When David tells of his plan to confront Goliath, when he talks to those in the camp about it, what is he met with? Mockery, discouragement, and bad advice. "You can't do this. You're too young. You're not trained. How dare you recommend that we do that? Well, you can go out there, but you have to wear my armor. You have to take my shield." We see that the world is not our ally, just as it was not David's ally, God is. Notice in David's rebuttal in verses 34 through 37, he gives all of this credit to God. He has confidence in the Lord. That is how he is able to go forth boldly into battle, knowing that God will grant him the victory. And I want us to take special notice of verse 40. Because if David trusted so solely in God, why take 5 stones? Why not just grab 1 stone and use that? And I would put forward to you that David took 5 stones precisely because he did not trust in the weakness of his own flesh. How silly would it have been if David grabbed one stone and then slipped and fell while he was walking towards Goliath and then he didn't have anything. David prepared for the fact that the flesh is going to let him down. He knew and understood that God would grant him the victory that day, and he knew that he wasn't going to win on his own merit. But he understood that he still had to be pragmatic in his preparation to fight Goliath. David didn't trust in his own flesh, he didn't trust in the world, and neither can we. Jesus spoke to his apostles in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Yes, God through David slayed Goliath with only the one stone, but David gave himself five chances to do so. So when we read this and we see how David went to go out to this story, what I want us to realize is that when we have determined to face our Goliaths in life, when we've said, "I'm going to go out to battle with them," we can't just give it one good try and quit. I know a lot of people like that too. You just, "Okay, all right, I'm going to try this. I'm going to quit drinking." Oh, it didn't take, so that's done. Can't stop that. "I went to one job interview and I didn't get a job, so I guess for now I'm just not going to be working because that's it. I gave that one try my all." Can't do that. Once we've acknowledged our adversity and we've determined to go out to fight it, we've ignored the advice of the world, we can't just expect it to all of a sudden be smooth sailing from there. We're just now getting to the battle. David couldn't just expect to show up with his stones and say, "All right, I'm going to fight," and then do nothing and Goliath dropped dead at his feet. He still had to have the actual battle. I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 12 as we've been going through it in class. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 through 17. We read it just this morning. "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we much no more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. Make straight paths to your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, for the holiness without which no one will see God. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. For no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears." We understand that once we defeat our Goliath, there are great rewards to be had. David was told by Saul himself, there are great rewards if you can defeat this Philistine. But you have to defeat him to gain those rewards. It's the same thought in Hebrews, throughout the book of Hebrews. Don't give up, as we've talked about so much. Press on towards the goal. And just because this trial is difficult, just because the battle rages, doesn't mean you stop. You have to keep going. If you're dealing with sin in your life, you can't just wake up one day, say one prayer, maybe read your scriptures for a little bit, and then say, "All right, I'm good. That's never going to trouble me again." You have to purpose in your heart and work every day to fight that sin. If you're dealing with a physical sort of Goliath, maybe it's unexpected sickness or financial trouble, or a physical issue, you can't expect to do the same just ritual in your life and everything go away. yeah, I'm on hard times, I lost my job, and I don't know how I'm going to make, you know, my next mortgage, but if I just say it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. That's not how we go through the battles in our life. God does the heavy lifting. God wins our battles for us. He forgives us of our sins. He shoulders our burdens, but that doesn't mean we just sit back and relax while God does everything. If we turn to Galatians chapter 6, I want to read verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. We cannot trust in our flesh or the world or the world's advice to win our battles. We have to work with God to be victorious. And that's exactly what we see in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we'll pick up again in verse 41. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And that all in this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of his sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. This final scene, we see David standing while Goliath falls. And this is the last point that I want us to take to our heart today, is that we have to fight on God's side. Because God can only work through us and win our battles if we have confidently allied ourselves with Him. The spiritual soldier devoted to Christ is the one who emerges victorious. Notice throughout this latter portion when he is speaking directly to Goliath, again, David does not give any credit to himself. He says, "God is going to give you into my hand, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, for the battle is the Lord's." On paper, it's really not hard to see why Goliath mocks David. By every measurable metric of physicality, Goliath should have won. David should have had no chance. He should have been dead instantly. But that is the beauty of fighting on God's side. The beauty of fighting with God as your ally. Because we're going to ask ourselves these questions: am I strong enough? Well, you're not. But that doesn't matter, because God is stronger than you could ever imagine. Am I good enough? You're not. But God is good enough. David faced down and killed Goliath without flinching because he knew that his God was greater than anything that this world could hurl at him to face him. I want us to keep this in mind as we go throughout not just the rest of our week, but really the rest of our lives, is that we are all going to encounter Goliath. We are all going to have that difficulty. We're guaranteed to. But as it is put so eloquently in Romans chapter 9, verse 31, if God is for us, then who can be against us? So what do we learn from 1 Samuel chapter 17? We learn to see our Goliaths and acknowledge them, to go forth to face them with boldness. We know that we cannot trust in the physical, and we must prepare for that physical to let us down. And finally, we see through David that we have to fight with God on our side. And if we do, then we will win every single time. Tonight, I want you to ask yourself, are you allied with God? We sing the song, we sing so many songs about battle and the armor of the Lord, and we sing, are you on the Lord's side? Well, are you? Do you go to your battles with boldness because you know that you don't trust in the world to save you, but you trust in God to make the victory yours? Or do you hide in your camp? Do you try to heed the advice of the world to get through? Do you cower in fear and let your problems blindside you every time? Today, if you're not a Christian, then you aren't allied with God. And if you are a Christian, there is still the possibility that you're cowering in the camp from your sins. If you come forward while we stand and while we sing, we can pray for you, we can baptize you, and we can help you be restored. Please come forward while we stand and while we sing.